You should find an outline in your bulletin. The top should say, "Take all I have," from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through verse 44. All those verses will appear in the outline as we go through it. Take all I have. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we study His Word together. God, our Father, we plead with You on this day, in these moments, we just need to hear Your voice. So it's no accident, it's no mistake. We do not apologize at all for looking to Your Word. It's the safest, it's the best way to hear from You. To hear You speak to us, to our hearts, to our church, to the world. We just expect to hear Your voice. Because we know that Your word is powerful. And when we consider it, our hearts are stirred up to serve Christ. Just help us in that, in this work of understanding and applying Your Word to our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The whole idea of rest is something that I long for, personally. I was feeling especially wore out this past week, working on a task at work that seems to never end. But it's a special job that I was working on, and I didn't have help on the job, and I was tired. I was worn out. I was just feeling it. I was feeling the weight of it. I was feeling weary in my soul. And I thought of our passage, because I was considering it this week, that Jesus invited His disciples, come away to a quiet place and get some rest. And I thought, man, that is so needed. And I never really know when I can do that. I don't know if I have time for that, you know. But that's really a cop-out. Because there's just these times. If you consider the way our bodies are made, we need rest. You know, we can't go, we shouldn't go a day without rest, without sleeping, at least, without resting in some way. And I'm just so struck by this idea, and Jesus knew the importance of it, and we see this right at the beginning of the passage, Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. What does that mean? Well, you have to go back to Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. And this is not in your outline, but I'll just read it. Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to Him, the apostles. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were His instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not a tunic. But not an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. So the disciples went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So there's some excitement on the disciples' part here. They come back from this mission that they were on. It's kind of like a short-term mission trip. And they say, wow, this was amazing. They start telling Jesus what happened. And in verse 31, we're told, then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So, I don't know. I usually find time to eat, right? That's pretty important to me. I'm a hungry person, you know. So I usually find time to eat, so I don't usually skip a meal. But these guys, they were so busy. Everything was so crazy. Everything was so hectic. We didn't have a chance to eat. And man, I think that's something our culture can really relate to there. The busyness doesn't seem to slow down. It seems to escalate. It seems to go, we need to go at a faster pace. We need to see if we can achieve even more in a 24-hour period. Right? That's how the mindset tends to work. Let's make a faster internet connection. Or a faster car, or a faster mode of transportation. Can we get there faster than we could before? The answer is always yes. You know, we can get there faster. We have microwaves. They can heat our food up really fast. To where it burns your mouth. It's so hot. You're like, man, that's now it's too hot. I have to wait and let it cool down. Right? It's so fast. And this is the pace here that things are going on. And Jesus in his wisdom, you know, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Let's get some rest. Let's get away from this. Let's unplug for a few minutes or a few hours or maybe some days. I don't know, but let's get away. My wife and I were blessed during our 10th anniversary. We decided, okay, my wife's like, you know, give me some ideas. What could we do? So I'm pretty good at that. I come up with a list, you know. Blackwater Falls was one of the things, okay? So that's what we did in August, about a month ago. We went to Blackwater Falls in West Virginia there. Just a wonderful place. It's like a valley going through there. There's a lot of mountains there. So, they're not mountains compared to out west, but they're mountains compared to around here. 3,000 feet or so, 4,000 feet. So we got to spend a lot of time, and really, I really mean that. We spent a lot of time traveling to these locations. And we weren't sure we're ever going to get there. We're going like 20 or 30 miles an hour down a fire road for literally hours to get to this location. And sometimes nobody else was even there. We didn't see a soul. So we get on a trail and we walk out to Table Rock. One of the locations was Table Rock. And you can go and you can just look out. And it's so quiet. You can't find a place like that around here that's that quiet. That there's nobody there. And you have to drive literally hours down a fire road at 20 or 30 miles an hour. And you're just, there's no one around. And we were hoping to see a bear, but we just didn't see one. But there's bears out there. There's animals out there, but we didn't even see really those all that much. So, and it's just interesting. This remote place is what Jesus says. Let's go now to this remote place. So it's a good idea. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. That's verse number 32. It sounds really good. Like it sounds like, okay, they're going to finally get some rest. Until. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And this is quite a sight here. But that's quite a statement. So the boat obviously isn't going that fast. They're not in a hurry because people are outrunning the boat as it's going. I try to think, you know, is this a sailboat? Or what? Are these guys rowing? Apparently they're not rowing if it's a rowboat because they're just kind of drifting. So slow were they going that, the people got there before them. Which is ridiculous. I mean, why were you even in the boat?
You should have just went with the people, I guess. I mean, you could have got there faster. But that, again, that wasn't the point.
The point wasn't to get there fast. And verse 34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And we have to pause there. That's a pathetic sight, right? But sheep without a shepherd. One pastor described it this way. Maybe it's like a bus full of people with no driver. A football team without a coach or a quarterback. A third grade classroom without a teacher. Maybe a country with no leader. Maybe some kids with no parents. A nursing home with no visitors. Teenagers with no role models. You know, all these things we can picture in our day. In those days, it was very common to see sheep out in the field. And sheep with no shepherd, they were vulnerable. Sheep can't protect themselves against predators, right? They got nothing. They're not very smart. So we can say that Jesus felt compassion on them. So what does he do? You know, what's he going to do? Because they're like sheep without a shepherd, he began to teach them many things. And the indication is, it seems to be that they need to be informed. They need to be taught and encouraged. So that's what he does. And it's interesting, you know, how do disciples feel about this? Yeah, they got to the other side. They're hoping for this rest. Right? It's what I did all week. I longed for rest, but I couldn't find it. And it's disappointing. Right? They get to the other side, there's a crowd of people again. I thought we were getting away from these people. I thought we were unplugging ourselves. We're still plugged in here. This ain't good. I think his disciples, I think they're a little bit irritated. And I think you see this in verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to Jesus that this is a remote place. And it's already very late. Now, you have to picture this. Okay, now this is not... these guys are very observant, you know. hey, Jesus, did you notice? This is a remote place. Yeah, that's the point. That's where we were going, to a remote place. It's getting very late. Yeah, I can also see that. You know, the sun is going down. I can see. This is obvious stuff. Okay, Jesus didn't need his disciples to tell them it's a remote place, it's getting very late, this is obvious. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But this is more like, they're just demanding Jesus to do this. They're giving orders, essentially, to Jesus. They're stating the obvious. It's almost like they need rebuked here, you know, in a sense. Because it's like, you're just telling Jesus what to do. Send him away. Get him out of here. We want to have our time of rest, I think, is what the point is, really. But Jesus said to them, okay, you give them something to eat. In other words, I'm gonna call this the fact that they need some food. That's your responsibility. Why don't you do something about it? You noticed the problem. Why don't you solve it? Oh man, that's tough. Okay, so but they said, you know, it would take eight months' wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Because I don't know, that that sounds like a sacrifice. That sounds really tough. I don't think that sounds impossible. We can't do it. And Jesus asked that, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go and find out how many loaves you can get. When they found out, they said 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think this is common for us. We focus on what we don't have all the time. It's I don't have this. I lack this. I need this. It's just so interesting that Jesus says, "Well, what do you have?" Not, you know, instead of the negative side of it, well, we don't have 6 months' wages. We don't have the ability right now to go and buy all this bread to feed all these people. What do you have? Because I think when you focus on what you don't have, you lose sight of what you actually have. I don't have this in my cupboard, okay, or whatever. But I do have this. So we do this all the time. It seems like, okay, let's figure out what we can make from what we have. Because going to the store is usually a big hassle. So we got this already. What can we make? Is there a recipe that we can make with what we already have? You know, is there something we can afford with what we already have? Instead of waiting until the payday comes, well, maybe there's something we already have. Maybe we can use what we already have to get something we need. And I think Jesus, he's trying to shift the focus of the disciples from what they don't have and what they're not able to do. Okay, that's a negative attitude. That's a negative viewpoint. Here's what we can't do. Okay, what can you? That's so much better of a solution. That's so much better of an idea. Go and do what you can actually do. And go and focus on that. And try to accomplish, try to find a solution to this problem. And he said, okay, we went and we got 5 loaves and we got 2 fish. And it seems like there's a lack. It seems like, well, that's not going to be enough. It seems like they'd be discouraged even once they found out, okay, this is all we got. It's all we got. We have nothing else other than this. And this is not going to go far because of what we've learned. I think we all know what's coming next. But Jesus directed the people in verse 39 to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples and to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. And understand, I don't think really the disciples understood what's going to happen yet. But they're standing there with just a little bit of food. And they're looking out over a huge crowd. And they're thinking, man, we're going to run out on the first row. We're going to get to the first row of people. We're going to run out. What is going to happen? This is not going to be good. We're going to look like fools. You know, sit down, everyone. We're going to feed you. But you got like a box of crackers and you got a can of tuna fish. You know, okay, well, that's not going to work. With this crowd here, that ain't going to work, right? I'm not going to get past the first row. Maybe I will. I don't know. It depends on how hungry you guys are. Okay, but see, everything is against them at this point. It has to be discouraging when they think about it. They're just thinking, this ain't going to work. This is not a good solution. We're in real trouble. But verse 32, we read that all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men, only the men, who had eaten was 5,000. And there's all kinds of people that try to explain away this. It's interesting. If you read any commentaries, some suggest that Jesus had a secret stash of food hidden away in advance.
That to me is a little far-fetched. Another suggestion is some wealthy women had packed up some super-sized picnic baskets and sent them out to Jesus. That's really even worse of a solution to that, or of an explanation. The most common explanation is that when the disciples brought up the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, it inspired everyone else to bring out the food they had been keeping for themselves. I've got an opinion on that. Those are lousy explanations. Okay? That's my opinion. But that's not what happened. That's not the point. Because if that's really what happened, then the people came up with their own solution. What did they need Jesus there for in the first place? They were able to do it. They actually had the food there. It just wasn't... no one was aware that they already had the food. No, I think that's... I think it's bologna, right? With bread. And, it's not right. The whole idea is that Jesus took what was lacking and he made it abundant. So much so that there's now leftover baskets of bread and fish. Enough for each of the disciples, because there was 12, to have a basket for themselves. You remember, they had not eaten. Remember that? We saw that. They were not able to eat. They were hungry, too. But each of them gets their own basket of bread and fish. After 5,000 men, and we could add, we'll just say 5,000 women in addition. We'll say some kids along with that. We end up with 15 or 20,000 people are eating this bread, the 5 loaves, and the 2 fish that have been supplied. And we say, no, it's a fairy tale. It can't happen that way. I mean, what's happening here? I think Isaiah sums it up, or I'm sorry, Ezekiel sums it up pretty well in verse 11, 34, chapter 34, verse 11. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the days of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and in the ravines and the settlements of the land. I will tend them in good pasture. On the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Jesus says, these people are without, these sheep are without a shepherd. I will be that shepherd. I'm going to provide what they need. I just need you, really, to tell me what you have. There's a new song that I love. It's fairly new. I think it's by Matt Redman. It's so simple. Take all I have in my hands and multiply. I just love that idea. I just want you to take all that I have. I don't have a whole lot anyway, but it could probably fit in my hands. Take all that I have in my hands and multiply it
for your cause, for your good, for your glory. And I wonder if we can get to that place. I wonder if we can say, you know, here's what I do have. You know, here's what I have in my hands. Can you take all that I have and multiply it in a miraculous way? I'm not sure that I can guarantee you that every time that prayer is going to be answered, right? Because, you know, it's not a guarantee that I can give you. But I think there's times. But when Jesus says, why don't you feed the people? Why don't you give them something to eat, so to speak? And it might not even be necessarily food, but why don't you provide the needs for the needs of someone who's destitute? Why don't you provide encouragement to someone who needs it? Why don't you give a prayer of intercession for someone in despair? And we might say, well, you know, I don't know if I have the resources that I need. I don't know if I have a whole lot in my hands to offer. I don't know if I have a lot of time, money, skill. And Jesus might say to us, you know, what do you have? Well, let's look on the other side of the coin. Let's see what you actually have in your possession, and that's what you can actually give. I'm not asking you to give what you don't have. I'm asking you to give what you do have. So you go looking around and say, well, here's what I have. Just take all that I have in my hands and multiply it for your glory and for your good. Because I just want to be a part of that. You know, I want to share in that. I want to see God do something like that. And I want to walk home with a basket of leftovers that I cannot explain. Knowing that I didn't have much in my hands, I'm walking home with more than I had in the first place. Now, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it is. It's just God. He's just saying, like, I have stuff that you don't have. I have resources you don't have access to. But if you ask me, you just might see just a small portion of it. You just might see a whole basket of leftovers. But it shouldn't have got past the first row. You might see a miracle take place that you can't explain. The only way you can explain it is that God did something that day. And the only way we can explain it is that God is still working in the world. Through His people, through the Holy Spirit in our lives, He's given us that Spirit. He fills us with the Spirit to do His work out of this world. And usually I just say, Father, forgive me, because I don't believe that I have what it takes. I don't believe that I have a whole lot to offer, so please forgive me, because You want to take what I do have. And You want to use it to change lives, to meet needs, to encourage hearts. And I just need to hear that He does. He wants to take what I already have. And it's not much. But He says, no, I don't care that it's not much. I'll make it more than you can imagine.